Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with perimenopause weight loss expert Kayla Johnson. Kayla and I spoke about fueling your body in midlife and how to lose the belly fat and get re-energized. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much, and as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now, on to my conversation with Kayla. Kayla Johnson, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Lisa. I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. I'm really looking forward to talking about all things perimenopause and menopause transition today. And before or to get us started, I'd love to hear what's the main thing you're excited for our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
Let's see. What is, I think that this might be the best takeaway. If you are in perimenopause, I think that we need to always consider that when we're in new battles, we cannot use old weapons.
I love it.
So it's a lot of reframe, and I've screwed it up a lot. So I've learned by doing. We're just in a new time of life, and really to reframe it and to be excited about thriving in this time. A lot of us are empty nesters. It's just a different time. And I feel like women just think that this is it and they have to settle. And so I just really want to get women to break out of that. So new battles, old weapons, we're not doing that. We're going to learn a better way.
That is awesome. And I think you've pretty much nailed it on the head with just this little phrase. Like many of the problems that people come to us with, also, and I'm sure your same clientele, where they're like, everything I used to do, it's not working anymore. Why is it not? And I'm trying to put my calories down even further. It's not working. I'm trying to exercise even more. It's not working. What's going on? So love, love, love that. And I look forward to digging into what that exactly means. But yeah, how did you get into specializing in this field?
Yeah, so I have a long history in fitness. I was a dancer my whole life, and then I needed a gym membership. A lot of how I ended up here came from necessity, which I think that that's can be common for a lot of people, right? So anyway, I started teaching step aerobics back in the early 90s, so I could afford my gym membership, and that was a really natural thing to do from dance. And I immediately fell in love with the industry. I have always loved group fitness. It has just been my first love. I'm a bit of a serial entrepreneur, if you will. And so kind of my next pivot is I moved to Santa Barbara. So that's where I live now. So I moved to Santa Barbara 18 years ago, and after being here for about 5 months, I found myself as a single mom with a 4, 7, and 9-year-old. So the rubber was going to, meet the road. And here I was as a single mom. It was time to reinvent myself. And out of necessity came Kayla Johnson Fitness. And that's really where she was born. I fell in love with everything about that private clientele experience, which I hadn't done a lot of up until that point. And then again, I started and sold four businesses. I just sold my last business, which was a spin studio. So I owned a business called Star Cycle. I was able to sell it to a lovely 30-year-old, which is way more appropriate. I'm 49. So I do this now full time. So I would say maybe the second pivot, if you will, in my career was COVID, which is a common pivot point for, I think, a lot of people. The more conversations that I've had, especially as I'm talking and doing a lot of interviews, it's a really common place for people to have pivoted, whether they got an air fryer or a golden doodle or got a divorce or jumped ship. I mean, I'm in California. We had a lot of people jumping ship out of California. It was hard to be here. But like that was a major pivot for me because I was 44 and I was going through perimenopause and I had no idea. In fact, at 5 years ago, I couldn't define the word perimenopause. I really didn't know what it meant. I mean, it was out there kind of like in outer space, but it was for old people. So why in the world would it relate to me? There just was not a relatability there. And we were upside down. I'm remarried now of almost 11 years, and we have 6 kids. We have 3 boys and 3 girls. And with the exception of one of those children who's the oldest, who stayed on the East Coast, we circled the wagons, brought everybody home. It was a frat party. We were filming TikToks and having drinks and eating food. And I was dragging my spin bikes in and out of my studio multiple times a day. I was fighting with the district attorney. I was fighting with the neighbors because our music was too loud. It was just a really, I think I was living in this like fight or flight. It probably pushed my perimenopause even further along because I was so freaked out. But regardless, I was struggling and I had no idea I was struggling. And it took me a very, very, very long time to uncover what was going on with me, which is why now I have such a passion and such a conviction for helping women figure this out sooner than later, because I think that we're suffering in silence. And I think it is so sad and it is so unfortunate. And there is a lack of education. I was just doing an Instagram live with one of my favorite OBGYNs on Sunday. And she said to me, "You know what, Kayla? We're boots on the ground." And I thought, gosh, that's poetic. Yeah, we are. Like, I feel like I am just like strapped up in this perimenopause battle and just taking one woman at a time with me. And that's what it takes. And I feel so grateful to be in this space. So the second thing that happened, besides me being a nightmare and wanting to rip everybody's heads off during that time, is my entire business went to Zoom. And I'm a girl of the 90s. So I'm a bricks and mortar girl. I'm like, what you see is what you get. We're gonna do bicep curls, we're gonna do burpees, we're gonna do kickboxing, we're gonna do spin classes. But never did I ever think that I was gonna be in the online space. It just never even occurred to me. So that was a bit of a paradigm shift. It wasn't as clear as I'm making it sound right now. I just had this like knowing that the 28 years I'd spent in the industry was getting me ready for something big. And as I uncovered and accepted, is maybe a better word, accepted that my body was changing and that I needed to approach my life a little bit differently, this is what I knew. And this is just based on me knowing myself. I'm a bit of, for good or bad, I'm a bit of a dog on a bone. So, like, once I set myself up to do something, that's it. Like, out of my way, it's happening. So, because I know that about myself and I see everything through, I knew I'd figure it out. I didn't know how. I didn't know how. I had no idea how, but I knew I would figure it out. And then it was going to be my responsibility to pay it forward. It was going to be my responsibility to help other women get through it faster than I did. So that's really where this whole Kayla Johnson Fitness 90-day accountability program took hold. It wasn't as poetic as I'm making it sound right now. It was super messy, but I had time on my hands and I had a whole spin studio full of women who were feeling a lot of the things that I was feeling. And so I just grabbed them and said, "Talk to me." And it was, as you could imagine, it was all the same things. Fat out of nowhere. I'm doing all the same things and nothing's working anymore. Belly fat, fat in weird places. I can't sleep. I have brain fog. My hair is falling out. I'm super irritable. I mean, it was just this, it was like a rinse and repeat conversation. And I was like, this is crazy. Why are we not talking about this? What is going on? So I just started doing my baseline research around perimenopause and hormones. Started talking to friends. Isn't that what we do? Just grab our girlfriends and say, "I don't, you know, what is happening? Is this happening to you too?" And then I just threw some money at the problem. I went straight to a concierge physician. I was like, I'm not even going to spend 6 months to get an appointment. I was so miserable that I just needed to, go down that road. So I definitely am a huge advocate for hormone replacement therapy. I think there is a lack of education around that as well. So, and that's probably another podcast conversation, but I got that all straightened out. And then, I really, and a lot of other things we can touch on in a little bit too, if you want, but like really cracked the code. I really cracked the code and I thought, okay, this is it. So when I was helping women in the beginning, it was more like a 30-day program trying, and everybody was frustrated. They were frustrated. I was frustrated. I mean, 30 days of working with someone, you're just like starting to peel back the layers of the onion. So that's when I switched to 90 days. It was probably about 3 years ago that I made that decision. And I literally, Lisa, I cannot get to women fast enough. I mean, my DMs, I do primarily a lot of my work on Instagram. I talk to 50, 60 women a week.
Wow, it's amazing.
Wild. It is wild. So for me now, it's just a matter of like how I can get to women fast enough to really help them, right? With new battle, old weapons. Just going back to, kind of what you said, like we just really have to approach this part of life so differently. And if I'm being totally honest, I never thought it would happen to me. I always thought like I was special. Like, well, that's not going to happen to me. I mean, that happens to everybody else. It's not going to happen to me. But like the leveling of the playing field in perimenopause, like you just can't escape it. You just can't. I mean, it's very rare that I meet somebody who's like, "What, perimenopause? That was a breeze." I mean, it's just like usually all over the place. You feel like you're all over the map. So anyway, that's me. That's my story. It's what I'm doing.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that with us. And there's so many things in there that I want to touch on. So firstly, yes, I think sometimes we think, okay, I'm living a healthy life, I'm exercising, I've got a good amount of muscle mass and stuff. It's not going to affect me as much. No, like it probably, It is very, very random from what I hear and see, and most people experience some sort of symptoms. And alongside of that, the more I speak with experts and the more research that's coming out, I think the more we are seeing that getting on HRT sooner rather than later is beneficial for most people. I think obviously always there's context and you need to find the right person for you, need to find the right dosage for you, need to find the right things for you. But that is like literally the message I have gotten from every single expert. And by expert, I don't just mean like menopause coach, but like literally people in the research or medical practitioners and so on that are confirming that exactly. And so, I mean, for those of you listening, Kayla looks absolutely radiant and you look like you're thriving and it sounds like you're thriving. And so I would love to hear your strategies that you have then implemented for yourself, but now also are teaching your clients in terms of, let's start with mostly nutrition first, that helps
Absolutely.
you feel better right away.
That I love that because it all starts with your foundation. So we have access to great tools, right? We have access to great tools, thank goodness, but we really have to make sure that we're not building our house on sand and that we're building our house on a strong foundation. And that is what I do. I'm a lifestyle coach. I'm a perimenopause weight loss expert, and that is my wheelhouse. I've partnered with nurse practitioners and physicians for maybe we need to do lab testing, maybe we want to do a Dutch test, maybe we want to prescribe GLP-1 peptides. Like I have a holistic approach, but before we do any of that, we got to get our hands wrapped around like what are we doing from a lifestyle perspective? And I'm really good at meeting women where they are. And every woman presents a completely different set of circumstances. Right? They have different goals or different ages. They've got different careers, different lifestyles. And so, really breaking them out of there is not a cookie cutter approach, and there is not a one size fits all approach. And you are not a cookie cutter, and you are special. And we are just so steeped in this diet culture that whether you were somebody who dieted, as you were, in the 80s and 90s, which we just got destroyed in the 80s and 90s. But whether or not that was part of your reality, it was still part of the world's reality. And I just don't think that anybody is unscathed from it. I think that it's just so prevalent and it is just so there. So, really, I do a lot of brain surgery. It's a lot of just like peeling back all the layers of the stories we've been telling ourselves and getting them out of that calorie counting. Calorie restrictive mindset. That's probably the first battle that I have to fight with women. And I think I say it to them very briefly in the beginning as I have an academy of just like baseline learning I like them to do, where I say, like, we don't count calories, but they hear it. They hear it, but I don't think they absorb it. And so it comes up in our conversations constantly. I'm like, we don't step on bathroom scales and we don't count calories. So when we're dealing with women in midlife, we just come to the table with a lot of, oh, I'm going to use the word baggage. I hate that word, but we just have a lot of things that we've kind of brought with us. And so reminding them, like, hey, listen, those are old weapons, right? And what you said, I want to echo what you said because I want whoever's listening to us to feel heard. We cannot eat less and move more. If that is where you are right now, please listen to me. You cannot eat less and move more your way through. Okay, it's actually not a great strategy for anybody, but the reason why it may have worked for you when you were younger is because you were juicy. You were just full of hormones and just young and resilient. And so we learned really bad patterns because out of resiliency, right? I say it all the time, youth is wasted on the young. Can you imagine being young and realizing what you had? It's such a hindsight thing, right? It's such a hindsight thing. So we start really baseline. I get women out of packaged foods. Okay. The diet culture has destroyed us when it comes to packaged foods, gluten-free and keto and all this bullshit. And so we've got to get women out of packaged foods and really into whole foods. And nothing is off limits when you work with me, which that trips people out. They're like, hey, where's my list of approved foods? I'm like, that's a diet, right? Where's my meal plans? That's a diet. So we just got to get them out of that thinking and thinking on their own. And I think that women have just been following along and like, okay, I love when I hear like, oh, I'm super coachable. Just tell me what to do. I'm like, no, Now you got to think about it. Now you got to think about it. Now you got to make your own choices, right? Because whatever you've done for the last how many ever years is not working because now we're talking. So like I always tell women, I'm your last stop. So congratulations, this is it. Once you work with me, you're not going to need anything else because we're going to break you out of that restrictive mindset. We're going to break you out of all of that counting calorie nonsense. Now, I am a big fan of macros. What I'm not a big fan of is the propaganda that's pushed down everyone's throat about macro calculators and all the stuff. So anybody who's listening, if you're a fan of that, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings, but that's just how I feel. I'm one person, it's one person's opinion. I think it's crap. And the reason why is because we don't have a set macro point. There is definitely a way to calculate the amount of protein we should be eating, and we can do that very specifically. We can guess and we can narrow it down per person. And I think that every woman should pay attention to fiber. Oh my gosh, 25 grams a day, if you're curious. But the rest of it should ebb and flow with your cycle because we need to protect our hormones. So there's not this one set, special set of macronutrients because you put it into a calculator and an algorithm spit you out a number. It's a diet situation. I get it. I've been in the industry for so long. I've seen all the gimmicks, and we're just out there falling for it. We're out there falling for it. So, getting women back to the basics, whole foods, protecting that protein, because protecting that protein number is going to protect our lean muscle. And our lean muscle is our retirement account. I always tell women it is gold. What deposits are you making into that retirement today that's going to help you when you're 80 or 90? You would never go into retirement without money. Right? I hope not. You would never go into retirement without that 401k or that SEP IRA or whatever. You're doing something now in your working years to set yourself up for when you're no longer working. Well, how are you? You have one body. You can have lots of jobs, but you have one body. So what are you doing today that's setting you up to protect you for 80, 90-year-old Kayla and Lisa? And I think that we, because of the diet culture and this obsession with being thin, that's just been out the window. Women are afraid of getting bulky. That's my favorite. It's my favorite myth to misspell, but that's getting, again, undoing all of that, getting them into whole foods and then getting them lifting weights.
What an amazing baseline.
I love taking someone off the couch. They're way easier than trying to train someone like me who thinks they have it all figured out. Okay. Taking someone off the
True.
couch and just getting them into basic movement and teaching them how to feel strong. And listen, I got lucky. I ended up in the weight room at 19 years old. I was dating kind of a meathead, and then I liked the boys were cute. And so I was there because the boys were cute. And I actually really enjoyed feeling strong. I actually liked how I felt. Never did I ever think I was making deposits into an account for somebody who would be much older someday. Never, please. I did everything to be thin. Okay, just to be really clear. Back in the 90s, we were obsessed with thin. But I liked how it made me feel. So I got really lucky. I think I'm kind of rare. I think most women find weight training later in life out of necessity. And I'm here to tell you it's never too late. It is never too late. So getting women into weight training, getting them into a sustainable lifestyle, it's only good if we can sustain it. You know, your diets and all of these, this rigid thought process has a shelf life. And so we got to be really careful with making sure that we're not setting someone up for something that's unrealistic, which is why someone's lifestyle plays such a big part, right? I mean, that's why what I do is so specialized per person, is I have to work within the parameters of what their life looks like. And so really just laying that foundation, laying that foundation. And I don't do anything else with women until that foundation is there. And we're like kind of systematic with it. It feels really good. I tell women, when you're working with me, you're going to be so sad when it's over because you're going to have so much fun in the process. And at any point, if this does not feel fun, you have to say something and we recalibrate because none of it should feel like it just means that maybe we're moving too quickly. Because I like to make small incremental changes that add up to really big change right at the end and then set them up. And my success rate is huge and they're still around. Right. I never lose anybody. They're still around. They still check in. They continue to lose weight and feel really good. And the weight loss is just a byproduct of adopting a much healthier way to live.
Well, I love it, Kayla. Honestly, I mean, this foundation is great for anyone at any age, whether we're going through the menopause
Absolutely.
transition or not. But what you're saying, and again, like I see that more and more with the research also being affirmed, not just in regards to protein. I think that is a yes, even though there are still people that haven't heard that message, but yes, we need to, you need to eat our
Yeah.
protein.
I'm
But
like, are you living under a rock? Because I think that's all
yeah.
I talk about.
But I think the point on fiber is often overlooked still, unfortunately, in menopause or in general, again, for any age really, where we see still that if we're kind of orienting ourselves more on a like Mediterranean style eating, again, not saying diet because nothing is of limits. I'm totally with you on that front, but it automatically increases our like fiber intake very easily through vegetables, through the legumes, beans, and so on. Also, we're getting our healthy fats. And I just love how you're encouraging people to eat more and not thinking about eating less. And I do think that sometimes I see the calories or counting food, so to speak, just come in handy in the sense of not under eating. So sometimes I see people that do, even if you tell them,
I
like,
watch for that. Yeah, I
eat as
watch
much
that, but
as
you
you
can.
want.
I love that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I
No,
just didn't want to forget because I'm in perimenopause, so I could totally forget in 5 seconds. But
please.
like, I love that because that's actually what I watch for is the under eating. But you can have that conversation from a macro perspective instead of a calorie perspective. So it's all about undoing that up here, right? Yeah, I love
Absolutely. And I think even from the perspective of meal frequency, because if you spot that, you could just be like, hey, I see you're not actually, you're still kind of intermittent fasting. First of all, why are we doing that? Second of all, or like you're not eating anything between your lunch and your dinner. Can we maybe squeeze something in there, like a good quality yogurt and some fruit or something like that? Because you don't think you should be going these 7, 8 hours between your lunch and your dinner. So I like the awareness still from the quantity point of view, because I do sometimes have to push my clients to eat more during that time so that your body is allowing yourself to let go of the body fat more and supporting that muscle mass more, as opposed to just constantly being in that fight or flight or danger sort of zone. I mean, also with that style of eating, most of the time we are supporting our liver as best as possible, which is something that I think is often really, really stressed during the menopause transition in particular. Like, we're not getting enough cruciferous vegetables, we're still drinking alcohol perhaps, and so unfortunately during that time our body's just not as forgiving as it had been in the 20s and the 30s, and so we need to fine-tune things, as unsexy as it is. But I love that you're really starting with all these foundations, and so I'd love to hear, once that is laid out in your 90-day program, what other things are you looking into? Like you said, you're looking at the whole lifestyle. So what else can
Absolutely.
people look for or tune into?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and you're right. Like the foundational piece, if we don't have a strong foundation, then throwing all in all other tools doesn't make sense. So first and foremost, we're laying the foundation. I think that women who, and I wasn't afraid of hormone replacement therapy, but I was. This kind of goes back to the diet culture and just like how it's in here somehow, and you don't know how it got in there. And in my mind, I thought if I was gonna add hormones, right? So we're talking about bioidentical hormones into my life, I was probably gonna risk getting cancer. I don't know where I heard that. I mean, now I know because it was the debunked study of the Women's Health Initiative, but like I didn't know that until about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's amazing what seeps in here subconsciously, and it's the truth and a story we've been telling ourselves. That is like, and I was gonna, and I'm a kind of personality where I have a strong personality. You probably can figure that out about me. I'm gonna die on the hill. Like this is my truth. And like, wow, I recommend never doing that because you miss opportunity when you have that kind of mindset. So luckily, I am also a researcher and I don't believe headlines. So those are two really powerful things going for me. And I just do my own research. And when I did that, I realized, wow, there is actually, you're in harm's way if you don't add hormones. You're actually creating a negative impact for your body if you don't add hormones. And again, I want to echo what you said. Lisa and I are not MDs. We are not here prescribing hormones to anybody who is listening. This is such a specific journey for every single woman. However, it is absolutely a conversation to be had. And then that adds another layer of complication, which is something that I help women with as well, is a lot of our OBGYNs just don't have the information because they did not go to medical school and get a foundational education, anything really past childbearing. And so that's a whole nother, hill we have to climb, right, to get the support that we need. But I think that hormone replacement therapy is a really important piece of the equation. I liken it to an orchestra. And there's a lot of instruments in the orchestra, and there's not just one instrument making the sound, right? There's all of these instruments that are working together in this orchestra to create the beautiful music. And that is really how we have to treat this time in our lives. We all know from an intellectual level that there's no such thing as monotherapy, and there's no such thing as a silver bullet, and the answer is there is no answer, but we really just don't want to believe it. And I know that because that was me, because I was struggling so much. I was gaining weight so rapidly, and it was about 2 years ago, which is bringing me to my next point. And I'm the lifestyle girl. Like, you don't find anybody that walks or talk like I do. I have an infrared sauna. I have a cold plunge. I do all the things I teach. I always have. I have never, for a day in my life, stepped away from fitness ever. Probably since I came out of the womb, because I came out dancing. I started dancing when I was two. Like, I have always lived this life, right? And I was struggling. And you want to talk about suffering in silence? I mean, I'm an expert in my field. And I was gaining weight. It's a really dark place to be. And I owned a spin studio where you're very visible. So there's always a birthday, there's always a milestone ride, there's always a reason for a picture to be taken or a video to be taken. And so it is not like it's not body dysmorphia, it's a reality of what in the hell is going on? I'm not doing anything different. I've addressed hormones. I was on hormones at that point for 9 months. I doubled down on everything. So even though I was saying to everybody else, don't be rigid, don't double down, don't, I was completely in my own silence, doubling down because I was desperate. I didn't know what else to do. I was just doing more. Isn't that our inclination? Like maybe if I just do more and like no alcohol, just like I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't want to go anywhere because my clothes didn't fit. It was a really dark time. And I didn't know where to turn. And I just got lucky. And I say this because, not because I'm lucky, but because I'm open to opportunity. And I think that that's one of the best things that we can do is that we can be open and be open-minded to getting information. Because if you're not, then you can miss things. And a client of mine sent me a podcast about GLP-1 peptides. For those who are listening who don't know what a GLP-1 peptide is, it's Ozempic. For argument's sake, it's Ozempic, just so we are all speaking the same language. She sent me a podcast about GLP-1 peptides in connection to dementia and how it helped with dementia. And I love brain health, so that got my attention. And I was on vacation in Mexico, miserable. I had to buy new clothes for that trip because nothing fit me. And I'm listening to this doctor who's being interviewed talking about GLP-1s and neuroinflammation, and then talking about her discovery of microdosing GLP-1 peptides in perimenopause because she was quotedly wearing a perimenopause sweater. And I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is telling my story. She's talking about 10 or 15 pounds in perimenopause and how Ozempic helped her in perimenopause. Okay, so this is where it was like the record screeches. Right? Because I'm a humongous fan of Ozempic. I don't do a lot with obesity. So I don't have a lot of clients that have 70, 80, 90, 100 pounds to lose. However, my sister lost a ton of weight. I had people in the spin studio who had lost a ton of weight. Big fan, because these people are going to die of comorbidities. We need to let them win the race, teach them how to run. I think that there's a big lifestyle piece and there's a big compliance conversation we need to be having. Okay. However, they're a miracle. So I was never the trainer. I want to be very clear about this. I was never the trainer that was like, oh, you're so lazy. Just do the work. I was like, no, we've got to get these people healthy. However, for me, oh my gosh, I was judging myself. Like I couldn't even talk to my husband about it. He was the most supportive person. I couldn't say the words out loud because once I finished listening to it, I just sat down in the weight room. Everybody left. I was riveted. I just sat there because I knew that what I was hearing, and again, I wasn't ready to do it because I hadn't done my research, but I was so almost convinced that I was going to have to go public with it. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be the trainer on Ozempic. No, there's no way. But it could help you, but I can't. But it could help you, but I can't, because I just knew, because I'm honest. I'm never going to be that trainer that's like, oh, just eat more protein and fiber and look like me. Not a chance. I would never be that person. So I just went down a rabbit hole of research, just an absolute rabbit hole of months and months trying to figure this thing out. And the more research I did, the more I realized, again, I don't believe headlines. So the fear mongering just missed me because I'm smarter than that. But I was like, not only are these things not so safe, but they're so effective. This is wild. And we are vilifying these things. Again, I'm going to say it again. Anybody listening to me freaking out right now, they are wildly misused. They are overprescribed. There is a compliance issue. I hear you. If they are used incorrectly, they're a disaster. But when used appropriately by a prescribing physician, I lost 20 pounds. It took 7 months. I lost 20 pounds. I am better at 49 than I was at 29. I'm like my best self. And it's not about a number. And it's not about what I look like in the mirror. It's how I feel in my body. And I am back home. And not only am I back home in my body, but I have all of those things. I'm just back to me. I'm not somebody different. I'm just back to who I was 4 years ago. And the restriction is lifted. That feeling of like, if I eat that, I'm going to be 5 pounds heavier tomorrow, even though I don't weigh myself. It was just like that feeling of like, you feel so far removed from your body and so lost that you just don't even know where to turn next. Like that feeling lifted. And now, I mean, go to my Instagram. It's all I talk about. It's like literally all I talk about because they're so misunderstood. And for women who are needing that little bit of metabolic push, who are insulin resistant in perimenopause, which is exactly where I was, it's a game changer. So I take a lot of women through this peptide journey with a physician. With a physician. Again, I'm the lifestyle girl. I'm the expert, making sure that we are building our house on a strong foundation and then we're adding in these tools. But the results that I've seen for myself personally and the results I've seen for my clients, I cannot say enough about it. And I can tell you, I don't have a crystal ball and I didn't do it differently, but I can tell you that had I not taken that leap, I would be exactly where I was. And it wasn't good. It wasn't
Well,
good.
thank you so much for sharing that so vulnerably. And I mean, like, not just here on this podcast, but in the world, because truly, like you say, I think there's a lot of trainers that secretly take something or microdose or whatever and don't say that. And they're like exactly to your point, just protein and lifting weights or more fiber or whatever. So we need people telling the truth, just like you are. And more importantly, you are demonstrating so clearly, like, hey, even though everything, like you were doing all the things. I mean, looking at it from a trainer point of view, from a scientific point of view, your food quality, your training, you were addressing sleep, like all the things. So, sometimes I think as coaches, or initially I'll put my hand up too. Like when I first heard about Ozempic, for me, it was more like that's the easy way out. People are
Way
used
out. Yeah, cheat code.
instead. Yeah, that's right. Like if, and that is, as you're saying, if we're not addressing it correctly, if we're not also exercise, if we're not also eating protein, if we're not also looking at, hey, I need to address my sleep and my stress, then it is misused, and then it is kind of like that blame card. But if we're doing all these things and we're still not feeling like ourselves, again, it's not about the weight, it's not about the extra 5 to 10 pounds. If you would have felt like comfortable with that and still enjoyed your social life and stuff, like that's all cool. Like, but if that is not the
Absolutely.
case, then yes, we need to find a way to get you. I love how you said that I felt like I was back home. Like, honestly, that is so wonderfully put, because everybody should feel at home in their body. You should feel confident. You should feel proud of the work you're putting in. And by no means is that an easy way out. So I love how you're just using it in the right combination with a physician in terms of a microdose, and then probably, looking at long-term strategies, sustainable strategies, so people can long-term feel like they're at home. So
Yes.
really lovely. And you touched on insulin resistance there as well. And so I'd love to like dig a little bit more into that piece, because I do think that that plays a really important role throughout the menopause transition also. Is there some other like strategies that the listeners can think of or implement when it comes to better blood sugar regulation throughout perimenopause, outside of GLP-1 use?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the GLP-1 peptides, again, in conjunction with the lifestyle piece, and thank you for saying that because it really is important for your listeners to hear. There was not a stone unturned for me. There was nothing else that I was like, oh, maybe if I stop drinking four nights a week, and there was nothing. There was not even alcohol. So yeah, and so that's what I know for me is that the insulin resistance was a thing, and it just helped snap my body out of it. I think that this is really controversial right now, and I talk a lot about it, and I'm very supportive of it. I love it when it's done correctly, is intermittent fasting. And I think that we find with women in midlife that maybe the strategies around intermittent fasting are not necessarily working for us. And I think that that could have possibly been something that I was dealing with as well. I mean, I don't know. Okay. I mean, it was, things were happening. I don't want to lead somebody off a cliff and say that that's exactly what happened, but I definitely know that I was doing a lot of experimentation with it. And I think that my body was really unhappy about it. And so I think that the idea of intermittent fasting is a great idea. I just don't think that we should be doing it in the morning. Okay, I just don't think we should be doing it in the morning. So if somebody wants to intermittent fast, they want to bring that lifestyle in, that they need to be doing it closer to working with the circadian rhythm, right? So we're eating, we're fueling our body, especially if we're going to exercise earlier in the day, and then we're hitting that intermittent fasting window maybe late afternoon if they choose to intermittent fast. But I think that it's so nuanced and you have to be so careful, because when you're eliminating a meal, you are now eliminating an opportunity to load protein and fiber. And anybody who's taking advantage of a GLP-1 peptide, your appetite's going to be dampened. And that's another reason to be so careful, which is why I track everything with my clients. We are food journaling and we are tracking like a hound, because when you're not thinking about food, it's easy to just fly past it. And that is not what we're looking to do. So I think that that intermittent fasting conversation is so interesting. It's been treated like a diet. It really should not have been treated like a diet, okay? I always recommend the book Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Pels, because I like her fasting principles. And then we could go into a whole conversation, which we're not going to, about the benefits of fasting and what it does for the body. But the second part of her book and why I enjoyed it so much is she talks about how to eat to protect your hormones, which is something that I touched on a little bit ago. Like how we, that's why there's no such thing as a set macro point, because you're eating differently based on different times of the cycle, which is helping and lending to metabolic flexibility. So the reality is that it's a very specific situation and case per person. And what someone needs, what you need, is going to be different from what I need, right? Based on all kinds of factors, goals, how old we are, lifestyle, all the things. So it's just really not a straightforward answer. But I would say, just to answer your question, like, let's just be careful with it. Let's be careful with not eating until 2 o'clock. And do you notice that we wear it like a badge of honor? Do you notice that though? It's kind of crazy, right? And I was there. I was there. I can admit it. Like I did
Absolutely.
not. And I just think that we're not doing ourselves any favors. We're just not. And I, guilty as charged. Okay. Like I said, the reason why I'm so good at what I do is because I've messed it up a million times.
But I
Right.
will. I'll also bring that
Struggles that
up
you need. Yeah.
when let's say when the intermittent fasting craze started, maybe 10 years ago or whatever. I was also like, oh, should I give this a try? And I did.
Yeah.
Not noticing that it was adding extra stress on my body. I honestly, I forced myself to get to like 11 a.m. and I was like lightheaded, jittery, like more anxious. And then, oh, somehow it started messing with my cycle even more. It was a big surprise because I was already
Yeah.
training and stuff. And then actually led to me being a lot hungrier later on as well. So to your, like, I love the point of like, okay, let's not dismiss it completely because it can be a good strategy to reduce calories if we needed to, but let's shift the window. And I really, really like what you said about, hey, we still need to make sure to get our protein or our overall calories in, because that's the other thing I unfortunately often see when people only eat like twice a day, for instance. How are you going to get
Yes.
130, 150 grams of protein in with 2 meals? Very unlikely. Most women are not eating that much chicken in one meal. Let's be
No,
honest.
and like it, and you're right. It takes such a strategy. That's what I'm constantly talking with clients about. It's so, you know, I'm not taking the joy out of it, but it's intentional.
Yes. Oh, that's
It's intentional.
beautiful.
And I call your home and wherever work is your sanctuary. And we've got to protect that space, right? Like, don't use your willpower in your sanctuary, right? Leave that for the outside world. And like in that sanctuary, like really making sure that we are setting ourselves up for success and eating intentionally, because it's actually not that hard to take down 40 to 60 grams of protein in a meal that is set up intentionally,
Yes,
right? Set up
absolutely.
with fiber, that's set up with complex carbohydrates, but that takes a plan. And you're right. If you're not paying attention, right? If you're not paying attention, which I'm sorry, but a lot of us are not. So if you're not paying attention, it is so easy to not fuel your body with what it needs. And you're like, but I'm intermittent fasting. Like, why am I gaining weight? It's just, oh gosh. Do you see how
Absolutely.
many people we have to help? We have a lot of women to help.
Yeah, we
Like, I
definitely
have to.
do.
I'm just kidding.
I do want to respect your time, but I'm dying to ask.
No, I was totally teasing. That's what it feels like, though. It's like on your marks. That's how I wake up every day. Like, okay, all right, here we
I
go.
love the enthusiasm. I would love to know, to round us off here, what your training looks like nowadays then, because you mentioned a ton of like cycling and
That question.
cardio.
Nobody ever asks me that. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I love you. The reason why I love that question is because we have this conversation often with clients, because I'm a recovering cardio fanatic and I probably will always be in recovery. I mean, I just sold a spin studio. The year that I opened our spin studio, I was teaching 13 classes a week up until probably 2 years ago, I was teaching 9 classes a week. So, and like loved it because I'm nuts. But I think a lot of women can resonate with that. Like you get indoctrinated into burning calories and you got to do the cardio to burn the fat. And so that's how we think. And I'm pulling women out of that really intense 5 to 6 days a week of whatever it is, right? Running, whatever it is, that intense cardio is just kind of beating us up and recalibrating into more weight training and more walking versus that 45 minute just like, balls to the wall intensity. I get it. It's really challenging. It's challenging for me too. And so when I talk with women, I don't like to take things away. And so when I talk with women, I'm like, hey, let's talk about why we're doing this. So why are you running 5 miles 3 days a week? And a lot of times they're running to be thin. That's when we have to recalibrate. I'm like, well, that's not going to cut it. Not at 49. That's just not going to cut it. So we have to recalibrate. We need to weight train. We need to go maybe for walks instead of run. But if that person says to me, I love it. Like, it's like an endorphin rush for me. It's just like, I love walking doesn't do the same thing for me. Well, that's joy. That is joy. And that matters. And I say the same thing about teaching the spin classes. Should a 49-year-old be spinning 4, 5 or 6 days a week if we're just talking about fat burning and maximizing that person's body and protecting her hormones? Probably not. Okay, probably not. But the joy that happens in that candlelit room for 45 minutes and that energy exchange that happens with those people and the loud music, there's nothing like it. And I'm not willing to sacrifice joy to make sure that I'm like absolutely maximizing every single workout. Now I do counterbalance that with weight training and I walk every single day. So I teach 3 to 4 spin classes a week. I am always walking. So my husband and I, after dinner, will walk for 2 miles. We're the old people in the neighborhood. There's Mike and Kayla there. And I weight train 4 to 5 days a week.
That's
So I weight train for about 30 minutes. It was 28 minutes today. I was like, I'm out of here. 28 minutes, I'm out of here. I'm done. So yeah, so like, and you know what? As a recovering cardio fanatic, I have more time.
that's
Spent a
awesome.
lot of my life running half marathons to be thin. And like when I was dating my husband and he was living out of town, he would come visit me. I'd be like, oh, we're running 10 miles today. He's like, great. Like I just have so much time back, right? I'm not trying to be thin anymore. Just again, going back to your original question, we're in a new battle. We're in a new battle. We need new weapons. So I'm always probably going to be in recovery. I love that 5 minute sweaty beat down.
I know
Love
that
it.
resonates so much with a lot of the listeners, because often we hear what's optimal and we don't necessarily give ourselves the permission to think about what also brings us joy. Like, how can we find the middle ground? We hear like, oh, you
Yeah.
should cut out all kind of moderate intensity cardio completely, but what if that is what brings you joy? So how can you still have like maybe one or two or whatever, however many sessions of that, while still embracing the things that you might not like as much, like the HIIT work or the strength training, and finding, again, like same with the nutrition, what's optimal. If there's something that's optimal and you're not going to do it long term, it's not sustainable, then we're not talk we don't even need to talk about that. Like, let's find something that you can stick with, that you enjoy, even if it's a little bit less optimal. So Kayla, I
Absolutely.
truly, truly love your approach. Thank you so much, not just for this conversation today, but just all the work that you're doing with your 90-day program, with all the ladies that you're coaching and inspiring. I will most certainly link all your handles in the show notes so people can and should go and look up all the wonderful work that you're doing. Truly, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed this conversation so much. I hope it was helpful.
I'm
So
sure
thank
it was.
you.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Kayla. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.